Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Ayin He Omot Aleph. We're in the 6th volume of Mishnah Berurah, and we're going to be finishing up Simin Tof Resh Yod and starting Tof Resh Yod Aleph. So we begin, we were in the middle of Siv Dalad yesterday. We read the Ramah, I'll repeat the Ramah again, where he says, Hagah, the Noagim Shekol Ish Godol, O Katan Osin Loner. We light a candle for every man or every child, a male child. Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Yud tells us that we don't light for a woman. Ein lasos ner lisha. It's not necessary to light a candle for a woman. And he says, Ein lemogin avrom for the tam. Go look there for the reason. Now, we went through this footnote yesterday, Dirshu footnote number 11. So we'll ask people to refer to yesterday's shir. And we'll continue now doing Siv Katan Yud Aleph, which is really where we left off yesterday. What about a katan? So he says, Va'achshav einos neros el lenosui. The minhag today, he says, is not to go light candles for anybody except the married people. And he says, the Yalkut Shoftim Isa, brought down in the Yalkut on Shoftim, where it says, Lasus psilos ovos beves haknesses kidei laharbos oran. And he says that the custom is to light these candles in shul, where you should have lots of light so that it will last, and this way people can function and read the machzorim and learn in shul by these lights. It's worth that name of Mogen Avram. And Dirshu footnote number 12 adds here as well. And he writes, Ligabi Neros Mishaiva, when you're taking these wax candles, so he brings out from the Das Torah, in the name of the Mogen Avram, Sheishbam Hidr Mitzvah Lahadik Neros Aruchim, that you should light these longer candles, Kevin Shem Noam Yosef, they're more beautiful to have in the shul. Again, a lot of this with our electrical lights today doesn't apply. However, it says Ligabi Shemen, his bar b'dvar, Sheim b'ribu Yashemen Mishum Hidr Mitzvah, but putting in a lot of oil, that doesn't necessarily make it a Hidr Mitzvah, having nice long candles, that does. In the last paragraph, the yes for the Mati Ephraim, Shagam Esner HaNishama, the yard site licht, the people light, Yesh Lahadik Bevesa Knesses. He said they actually should light them in shul. Velo Shekamo Sheyesh Nagu Sheesner HaBari, the candles that we light in regards to the living, that they light in shul, and the yard site licht, they light at home. And this is also the opinion of the Kaf HaChayim. Shenogu Sheesner HaNishama Madlikim Bevesa Knesses, the Esner HaBari Bevesa. He says they had the exact opposite. They would bring the yard site licht to the shul, and they would light the candles for the living in the house. Lamaisa today, I think that this custom of lighting candles in shul is, at the most, it's done sometimes by the place where the chazan goes and is at the omud. And in many shuls, they don't have the cost of lighting candles because we have electrical lights. And the minhag, I would dare say, in most places, is the people light the yard site licht in their houses. And that's a whole separate discussion. Do you need to light one yard site licht for multiple people, or do you have to light a specific single candle for every single person? And this is discussed actually further on. And he brings down in Dirshu foot number 13, Lini Yimashin Ogu B'Yom Kippur, Lidor Tztaka Avra Mason, that you give Tztaka for the Mason. Yom Kippur is a kapara for the living and for the dead. And he says that's why it's called Yom Kippurim, which is a Lashon of Rabin. Kivin Sheishbo Kapara L'chaim L'Mason. The issue footnote number 14 brings down the opinion from the Sefer Amarachal, Shekosav B'Targum L'Megilas Esther, that on Leil Yom Kippur Madlikin Neros K'mispar HaBonim, that you light candles for each of your sons, U'K'mispar Avos, and the yard site lit for the parents. And it seems to imply from there that Ein Dai L'Shnei Mesim B'Nerecho, that you can't use one yard site lit for more than one person. Albeit now we'll see, as we continue in this Ramah, a different opinion. So we'll continue in the Ramah. Gam Ner Nishama, La'avil V'Moshemesu, he brings up the Kolbo, it's accustomed to light a yard site lit, not only for the living as we just brought down, this Ner Labari, that was a custom that I don't think is really extant today in many places, but we do have the custom, Gam Ner Nishama, the people light a yard site lit, Rechman of Islam, they lost their parents, so they light a yard site lit for the mother and the father, Shemesu. Again, brought down the name of the Kolbo. And in the Mishnah Berurah, in Siv Katan Yod Beis, he brings down L'chaper Aleim. That's this concept of kapara, that even people who've left this world, they are still rejudged all the time. I've mentioned many times a beautiful idea that every time a person does a positive deed in this world, and he does it because he was taught to do so by a person from the Olam HaEmes, so if the parents of a person taught them to be a good person, every time they're a good person, they do a mitzvah, they learn, they do chesed, whatever the situation may be, they treat their spouse nicely, they raise their children in the Mesorah of our holy fathers, so then their neshama is getting aliyah. And Rechmon Lusan, the opposite can occur as well. And that's why the neshamos are judged every year on their yard site, because there's a new reckoning that has to take into account. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that can take into account all of the deeds that they caused to be done, both positive and Rechmon Lusan negative, that causes them to have a pachad every year on the yard site because they're being rejudged. And that's the idea that I just mentioned, Yom Kippurim. It's a kapara for the living as well as for the people that are already not in this world. Even though we say Hameis Chavshim and Hamitzos, that's not 100% correct in the sense that their actions in this world can still cause impact in this world, even after they're long gone. So again, the mitzvah is to light this yard site, this is the proper way. The Ken Kasu of Mitzvah is Ravasa, and a number of the Rabbanim say this is the proper thing to do. Mishnah Berurah continues in Sif Kotnyud Beis, and he says, "Umashma miloshu zeh the sagi b'nei achad." And it seems that it would be adequate to have one yard site left in this situation for even more than one person. So in one house, Rechmon Lislam, where the mother and the father both have passed away, so the son or the daughter could light one yard site left on their behalf. The Mistama could even be for other people as well. One candle would be fine. However, he says, "Ayin Elya Rabba." He said, "Go look in the Elya Rabba," which I mentioned in Dirshu footnote number 14, which brings down from the Sefer Amarkal that maybe you should light a separate yard site lift for each person. Everybody should do what their custom is, but certainly the Mishnah Berurah says that one yard site lift is adequate for more than one person. Then the Ramah continues and he says, "Vim kavu neir sel b'yom kippurim." If these lights go out, either the neir for the bari, or more commonly for us, where we have the neir for the yard site lift, he says, don't go and ask a non-Jewish person to relight it. Ein lo ma'aleinu yudi shiachsu yavadlikim. Don't go ask a non-Jewish person to go relight the yard site lift. Brings down the name of the Maril and the Mari Vile. And the Mishnah Berurah in Simchon Yagimel says, afilu b'remiza, don't even hint to them to go do this. He says, the mitzvah, if it goes out, is to leave it out. U'mitzvah oseh, and you're doing a mitzvah, kishani chena kach mechuba. Leaving it extinguished this way is the mitzvah. And he says, v'nagu li kach achum lishmar neiros. In many places where they had all these candles lit in the shul, either for the bari or for the yard site licht, so they would have a non-Jewish person watch them in the shul, because shlo yavo chas shalom, they did the leka. You have all these candles there, everybody went home, they had wooden shuls, it could be a tremendous conflagration, rachmona litzlan. So they have a guy watch it. And therefore, based upon this, because there, they used to have the custom, no gulom, lo lechabos, they tell the guy, go blow them out, uladlik, and light them again in the morning before we come back to shul. He says, v'yesh limchos b'yodim, this is totally improper to do this. And even if this is stock of funds that's paying for this, nevertheless, you shouldn't do this. And even to go and tell them on Erev Yom Kippur to do this is incorrect. And you can see this in the Shaar HaTzion, Oz Tes, Ayin Shom, for further details. Now, the Mishnah Berurah continues here, and he says, v'afim ha'akum rotz et lahadlik miatzvo, even if the guy's going to do it on his own, you should protest and say, hey, do not relight that candle. Because he's only lighting it for your behalf and not doing it for any other purpose. And the issue footnote number 14 discusses this as well. If you see a Nachri that's coming to light the candle for you, then you're not allowed to let him do this. Even if the guy's house did you doing this, and certainly if he's coming to your house to do this, you have to protest and do this. And if he doesn't listen, and then he lights it, so then you're allowed to get hana from it. But again, it has to be without any wink-wink. You can't say, oh, please don't do this, when you really want him to do this. If you really tell him not to do it, and he does it anyway, you're not mechayev to leave the room. Then we continue with the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yudal, and he says, "Shiachzor yadlikim." Don't go ask the guy to go and relight them. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "Miachash olam makpidim im kovenero." People are very upset if the candle goes out, either the candle that they used to have for the bari and for the yard site. So, afapishal adati ain't bo mishum chashash. The Mishnah Berurah says you should have nothing to be concerned about. This is not some divination over here that if your candle goes out, it's a simon that it's a bad thing for you. But since people are makpid about this, the lefomim nichle machas ruach or machas chom. Sometimes it just goes out because there's a wind or there's too much heat there and it just the candle burns out. Since people are makpidim about this, even though there's no reason to, the Mishnah Berurah says, so give your candle over to a shamish to wash, somebody to watch it, and don't think about it any further, so you don't have to deal with this. And then the extra candles go leave in the Beis HaKnesses. He brings it down from the Chayi Adam. The Ramah continues and he says, Misha kovah neir b'yom kippur. If your candle does go out on Yom Kippur, so we just said don't relight it on Yom Kippur, even via a guy, Yasav yad l'kenu b'matz Yom Kippur, so you can light it after Yom Kippur. Vayecha ben wod, and let it burn out, don't extinguish it. El yanechenu l'lokat gemiru, let it go and continue to burn until it's all done. And accept upon yourself that you won't ever extinguish your candle even after Yom Kippur is over when you're allowed to. Not you and not someone else. And he says this is found in the Minhagim Yishanim. The issue footnote number 19 brings down that the Maril Diskin was mistapek emugam b'ner neshama. This is applied to the Yartzeit Licht, or is only to the Ner Bari that we were talking about. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Shinira Shurak b'ner shemadlik avoratzma. This is really only for the candle for the Bari. And this has nothing to do with the Yartzeit Licht, the candles that we have, that we light Nebuch in the memory of the people that have passed from this world that we miss so much. So he says, this has nothing to do with that. They go out. You certainly shouldn't have any concern, and there's nothing wrong with blowing them out technically. Okay. Then Ramah says, Yesho Rim Sheesh Latziah HaShulchanos B'Yom Kippur Kumo B'Shabbos. He brings out from the Mordechai and the Minhagim that you should go and set the tables for Yom Kippur, even though you're not going to eat on them. And he concludes, V'chein Noagim. This is a proper minhag. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkon Tesvav says, Mishum, because the Ikrei Shabbos Shabbos, because Yom Kippur is called Shabbos. And therefore, you set the tables for Shabbos, even though you're not going to use them. Then the Ramah concludes, and he says, Yesh Noag Lubosh Begodim Levonim Nekiyim. It's a custom that people wear white, clean garments B'Yom Kippurim. Why? Dugmas Malachai Yesharis, to be like the Malachim. V'chein Noagim Lubosh Kittel. And that's the custom for wearing a kittel, Shulavon V'Noki, that's white and clean. Begamu Beged Mason. It also is a Beged Mason. There are two reasons over here. The first one is it's a nice, white, clean garment to make you look like the Malachim, so to say. And the second one is it reminds you of death. You're going to think about the last time you're going to wear such a garment. They always say in the name of many Gedolim that always remember when you put it in your kittel that one time you won't be taking it off. So therefore, this concept is to humble a person and subdue a person's arrogance and realize that we're only on this world for 120 years and therefore we should have a lev nichna v'nishbar, humbled and broken. And he brings it down in his own opinion, Das Atzmo. He also brings it down from Nagos Maimonios. Now this is a very interesting discussion. Let's look in the Mishnah Berurah Sivkon Tezayin. It says, "V'noagim shagam hanoshim loshim begodim levonim." Women also wear white garments, unakim, clean white garments, l'chavar yom, for the honor of the day. However, avolo yekashdu atzbon betachshitin shemiskashdin b'hem b'shabbos yontiv. But they shouldn't wear the jewelry that they normally wear on a Shabbos and a yontiv, because mipnei emas yom adin, because this is Yom Kippur, and you don't dress up really, really fancy. And he adds, "Ain't no agos lubosh kittel." Women don't wear a kittel; they wear white garments, but they don't wear a kittel. So this is a very interesting discussion, and you can see this in Dirshu footnote number 20. He says, "Sha'af al gav shelagabi noshim lo shayach hatam shekos avramah." Even though by women there is no concept of them looking like malachi asharis, the first reason that the Ramah brought down sheishli damos biyom kippikal malachi asharis, it doesn't apply to women. Sharei einon yecholos lidamos lemalachim, because women aren't compared to malachim. Now, why is that? So he says, Kimavur b'magin Avram sif katan hay. Now, if you go look in the Magin Avram sif katan hay, he really doesn't say it clearly. But the Machzis HaShekel on the Magin Avram in sif katan hay states that this is based upon a pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Chafal at pasuk Chabez, where it says, "Ir giborim ola chacham." Moshe Rabbeinu was the chacham. He went up to the Ir giborim. Now, giborim is spelled deficient. It's spelled without a vav, so it's spelled as if it was givorim. And therefore, this Ir Givarim is the Malachim in Shamayim, so it's referring to them as Givarim. They're called Giborim in the pronunciation, but it's Givarim in the spelling, and that's what the Machzis HaShekel says. The Magen Avraham is alluding to say that men are described as Malachim, Ir Givarim, and not women, and therefore there's no need for a woman to wear a white garment like the Kittel. Sharet Zion points this out as well later on, but he just mentions, go look in this Magen Avraham without giving any details. And therefore, so women do wear white garments, but only men wear a kittel. And therefore, men also stand. Men are trying to emulate the malachim, so men have the custom to stand during Yom Kippur, because the malachim are always standing, and therefore women do not have to stand. Hanoshim lo yamdu. Women don't have to stand for the entire davening on Yom Kippur, as opposed to some men who have this custom to do so. Because the women aren't compared over here to the malachim, and the men are. Again, it's not a sexist statement or pejorative statement. It's based upon the drasha of a pasuk in Mishlei, where the terminology for the malachim is givorim, even though it's pronounced giborim. Okay, it's a drasha. Furthermore, since women do adorn themselves on this day, they dress up in nice clothing. So the Sharet Zion also tells us, "Sha'asu liga b'ishto b'yom kippur afil b'yom," that we give every woman the status of being like a nida on Yom Kippur during the daytime, even
as if she was a nida, and you shouldn't touch your wife, even if she's not a nida. Because we're so concerned about the Yetzirah overwhelming us on this day of Kedusha and Tahara, so don't even go and touch your wife, because it leads to her Hurim. As opposed to on Tisha B'Av, so when women are dressed in Begadim and Nuvolim, they're not looking so beautiful, they don't wear jewelry, they don't wear the best clothing, so then, Ein Lahachmir, you don't have to be Machmir, if your wife's not a Nida, to not touch her during the daytime. The Ber Hetev also brings down the name of Tosfos, Shalochein Korim B'Mincha Shem Kippur, Parshas Arayis. That's why we bedavka read the Arayis, the Parsha of Arayis in Achrimos Kedoshim, in Achrimos, this week's Parsha. So we read that on Yom Kippur, purposely, Mishum Shanoshim Mikushatos L'Chavarayom, since they're all dressed up in finery in honoring of Yom Kippur. Therefore, the Yetzer Hara could get the best of us, and therefore we read this Parsha on Yom Kippur to remind us of the severity of these potential Isurim. Now we're going to Mishabur Sivkon Yudzayin. He says, "Umitam zeh nagu leilbosh big day pishton lova nekiyim." That's why we have the custom to wear white garments, clean white garments. Kamosha kosev ish echad lovush badim. This is a pasuk from Daniel Perek Yod pasuk K, where it says that Daniel looked up. Ish echad lovush badim umostam chagur mechesem. And the Mefarshim there explained this is a remez to the Olam Hamalochim asher heim nekiyim mikol chaymar. They're clean from any schmutz, any problem, and therefore that's why we wear white garments. Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yud Ches tells us, "Vegam Avil, even an Avil, Toch Yud Beis Chodesh Al Aviv Imo, Nebuch, a person is in the year of mourning for a mother or father, or Otos Shloshim Ashar Krov, or in the 30 days the Shloshim for the other 5 relatives, Yochel Lov Show. It's not a problem to go and wear a kittel. However, Yesh Makom Shenogim Shein Avil Lov Show. There are places that have the minhag not to wear the kittel." And the issue footnote number 22 brings down, but from the Taz, Shafapi Shalatama Rishon, Shikasa Ramo Osulel Avil Lelov Show, according to the first reason that you're supposed to compare yourself to a Malach. So you shouldn't go wear this because you're an Avelus. So Mikomakam Latama Sheni, who Kedai Lachnia Slave Adam. So it's appropriate to wear the kittel to subdue yourself, to humble yourself. And therefore, the Taz says, if you want to wear the kittel during the Avelus, that's okay. And the issue footnote number 23 brings down from the El Yerabba, she talking shigam lefiat hamasheni shikos haramo hugidi lachni leva adam ein lovel lavosho. He says that a novel doesn't need to be subdued. He's already in a subdued position because of his avelus. Kevon shigam bil ado nichna libo. He's in a terrible mood because of the loss. And furthermore, mishum shu can beg it shul Shabbos. This is a garment that you wear on Shabbos, so to say. Shenogu shein ava lov shul big day Shabbos ko yubi chodesh. So therefore, that's the other reason not to wear the kittel. Each custom is appropriate. Everybody should follow their own custom. The issue footnote number 21 brings down, that's one of the reasons why we wear elisati betalas bilel Yom Kippur, in order to fulfill this idea of dressing up nicely. And this is comparison again to the malachim hamu'utofim bilavonim. And he adds as well, lefikoch ein lahosir satalis ad leachar tefilas arvis shel motzi Yom Kippur. Don't take off your talis till you finish davening mariv after Yom Kippur is over. If people are rushing to take off the talis, don't be in such a rush to take off your talis. He adds as well, that's one of the reasons why we say Baruch Shein Kvo Machusol Yom Ved out loud in Yom Kippur to be like the malachim. Shetam adar kivin shu shira samalachim. This is what the malachim do, and the Yom Kippur was supposed to be doma to the malachim. And v'chein legabi mashiyei shanogim lamon araglayim kol Yom Kippur. Again, as we pointed out, some people stand up to be like the malachim. Like the malachim stand up, they don't sit down. So therefore, we stand up as well. Finally, he concludes, and he says as well, that's one of the reasons why we go to the mikvah, to be tovel, to be totally pure, like the malachim on Yom Kippur. Finally, Mishnah Berurah concludes and says, don't go into the bathroom wearing your kittel, because it's inappropriate to wear such a garment, which is designated for davening, into the bathroom. However, but technically, if you just urinate standing up, you would be able to do that while you're wearing the kittel. So while technically you could wear the kittel into the bathroom, the minhag amongst most is that you don't wear the kittel into the bathroom. With this, we conclude the beautiful siman of Tav Reish Yud, and we'll start Tav Reish Yud Aleph. Begin with the Mechaber. Yom Kippurim Leilo Kamo Kiyom Lecho Dover. The night of Yom Kippur has the same dinim as the day of Yom Kippur in regards to the Inuyim. Umahim Ador Masurimbo. What are those things that are Osir on Yom Kippur? They're also applicable once Yom Kippur starts at nighttime. So he says, these are the Yisurim of Melacha. You're not allowed to do work. Achilu Shasiya, eating and drinking. Rechitza, washing, anointing. Sicha, Nila Sasando, wearing leather shoes. And Tasha Shamita, having relations with your wife. All of these are forbidden. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Aleph tells us, because the Pasuk says, Dilsid, the Erev Ad Erev. It goes from night to night. Sukkot and Beis, you're not allowed to do any of these things. B'gemara yafina lu mi kama kroi, it's all based upon psukim, the kol hanikra inu, all of them are called afflictions. U'mimele kulu b'chlal v'nisa v'staf shel sechem. They're all included in this prohibition. Mechaber continues and he says, v'ein chiev karetz el al malach v'achilu shtiyah. The only ones that you chayev karetz for if you do them are melacha, and also eating and drinking. But the others, the wearing of the leather shoes, anointing or washing, that's not a chiv of kares. Mishabur Sivkot and Gimel tells us, Aval Enoch, Ein Bem El Isur Degreda. They're a lower level Isur. Nevertheless, Mikom Makom, Yesh Om Mishu Ben HaTorah. There is an opinion that says that they are Daraisa. And you can see who says this in the Sharet Zion Os Aleph. The Hoyafino Lu B'Shas Bikroid, based upon Psukim. And then he says, you can see this in Os Beis, in the Sharet Zion, a long list. The Yesh Om Mishayin Elim D'Rabbanon, that those are actually Elim D'Rabbanon. And the Psukim who cry, Asmachta B'Al Meninu, they're just an Asmachta. The Nafkamina, Linyan is a Sufik, and the Nafkamina is the practical ramification, is if there's a Sufik, Ulamaisa Royal Hachmir, we should always be Machmir in these situations and assume they're Dinim Daraisa. There's a lot more to say about this, but this is a good break point. We'll stop today's shir. This concludes today's shir.